Wow. Deirdre, why does the cello make me cry? It is. You can feel the resonance in your body. Okay. So we've reached the final two steps to healing. We've been using the writings of Unity's founders, who got started on this path when they healed themselves with prayer and the power of mind over body. So we started with joy and oneness. And then we talked about the way we use words, especially affirmations and denials. The third week was non-resistance and non-attachment. Then last week we talked about forgiveness and prayer, all within the context of healing. And today we end with faith and peace. Faith and peace are fairly standard in any religion, I think. And as I thought about how to define them, they might be the same thing. Faith is knowing all is well, even when you can't see it. Peace is knowing all is well, even when you can't see it. Or maybe faith leads to peace. If we believe all is well, then we feel peaceful. So how do we get to peace? Because we can't wait for outer circumstances to change before we feel peaceful. It's the other way around. Let peace begin with me. And that requires changing our thoughts to be peace in the world. I want to talk mostly about faith today, but I think all of it applies to peace too, or it brings peace. We practice faith the same way we practice peace, by changing our thoughts. But here's the thing. We always have faith. It's just not always beneficial to us. For instance, our whole society has faith in illness. Sooner or later, every single one of you is going to be sick. That's the mass consciousness. You might have faith in your own unhappiness. You know, every day at work will be miserable, or this Christmas my in-laws are coming, and oh my God. The spiritual work here is not to have faith, but to pay attention where we focus our faith. Is your faith focused on the idea that God is all there is? Do you have faith that you are divine? Do you believe Jesus when he said anything he could do, you can do, and more? Do you have faith you can do it? Do you have faith you can have what you want? Do you have faith that infinite supply is just waiting for you to claim it? Do you have faith a body can get well and that healing takes many forms and that whatever happens will be perfect for you? All of that is a major shift in thinking for most people. And faith is all about our thinking. So let me read you what might be my all-time favorite Bible story, because it's about faith and the thinking underneath it. We've talked a lot about how Peter, the disciple, struggled with faith. And in this story, Jesus and the guys had been out teaching all day, and they were wrapping up the day. And immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. I'm convinced Jesus was an introvert. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. And immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. I love that story because it's the perfect illustration of how the law works. The results depended entirely on Peter's thoughts. When he believed he could walk on water, he could. When he got scared and doubtful, he sank. Now, I will grant you it would take tremendous concentration to stay in a consciousness that says, I can walk on water. And Peter, like most of us, managed it for a minute. He had faith in the power of Jesus and the divine energy in himself. He was inspired in the moment, and then he shifted the focus of his faith. Wind is strong. Water is wet. Human beings can't walk on water. And he switched his faith to common belief. He agreed with mass consciousness, and he sank. Now, apply that principle to healing. It requires unwavering faith. You have to hold that faith in the face of a society that says everybody gets sick and healing is hard. Well, some healing is hard. We believe we can heal paper cuts. We believe that a cold lasts about a week. We shrug them off. But other physical issues, we've applied the label big deal. Cancer, heart disease, diabetes, maybe they're the leading killers because we believe they will be. And you say, well, yes, but we have evidence and scientific studies that these are serious issues. And I say, which came first, the belief or the evidence? Where is your unwavering faith? Charles Fillmore, who founded Unity with his wife Myrtle, has a chapter in Jesus Christ Heals, one of his many books. The chapter is about faith, and he called it indispensable assurance. He said, faith in its highest form is an exalted idea. And what is the most exalted idea that man can have? That he is spiritual, that he is related directly to the one great spirit, and through that spirit, he can do mighty works by faith. Peter got out of the boat, holding on to the exalted idea that he was spiritual, the divine in human form, and he could do what Jesus could do. Faith is your inner reality. Everything is created within you first. Whatever you imagine comes into reality in some form. Fillmore said, wherever you find the mind at work, you find faith. So let's talk a little more about this principle, because this is where the rubber meets the road. Excuse me. I do believe in allergies. It's nice to know that we're spiritual beings having a human experience, but what do we do with that knowledge? Well, we've been given a set of spiritual laws to work with. Or maybe just one law. Our thoughts create our reality. Beliefs are thoughts we just think a lot. We literally wear grooves in our brains. And then faith is what we believe so deeply we don't even notice it anymore. There are a lot of examples of this. For instance, we have faith the sun will come up in the east. We have faith that 2 plus 2 always equals 4. We know the angles of a triangle add up to 180 degrees, no matter the size of the triangle or the length of the lines. So before you draw it, you know the angles will add up to 180 degrees. When we understand a law, we can know the results beforehand. That's the kind of assumption we want to develop around the law that says our thoughts create our reality and therefore determine our health. Fillmore said, man has unlimited power through thought. Whatever we focus on becomes real. We see this connection of our thoughts with our lives. We see an early version of it in the Old Testament. In the days of Moses, people believed if they followed God's laws, they would be well, and sickness was a sign they had broken the laws. They weren't exactly wrong, but we have a different understanding of what the law is. They were adhering to outer laws of behavior. We are working with consciousness. And they got the hang of it a little later. Remember Job? When his life and health were destroyed, he said, "The thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me." He knew his thoughts were showing up in his life. He had failed to have faith that his good would last, that it was real, or that he was worthy. And he knew it. Emily Cady explained this in Lessons in Truth, which was Unity's earliest book. And instead of reading it to you, let me take you through it. This is from her faith chapter. So, God is the sum total of all good. It's principle one, right? God is all there is. There's no good you can desire that is not God at its center. God is the real thing within every visible form, the substance of all things. And substance is unlimited. That means abundance for every human want is already provided. It's waiting for us. Faith takes hold of substance and brings it into form, into our lives. If we don't lay hold of substance, it just goes unused. So state what you want and believe it is already available to you. We don't just ask for things, of course. We ask for healing. We ask for harmony in relationships. We ask for meaningful work. All of that is what we call God. It's divine energy in expression, and it is already here. It's available to you. Now, Papa Charlie Fillmore said, "To be healed in mind and body, you have to understand the Trinity." Yes, we have the Trinity in Unity. I was asked about this in the new member class the other day. In Unity, the Trinity is mind, idea, expression. It tracks Father, Son, and Holy Spirit like this. God is the name we give to all-encompassing mind. The Christ is the perfect idea of humans in the mind of God. And that Christ energy, the divine, came into expression in the man Jesus, as it does in all of us. Fillmore said, every creation is mind, idea, expression, including health. So first there's the one mind, wholeness. Health is a perfect idea in that mind, and it comes into expression through our beliefs, through our faith. Mind, idea, expression, or thinker, thought, action. This process unfolds without our knowing how. You know that passage in the Bible when Jesus was talking about planting corn? He said, you can scatter seed and then go about your life, and meanwhile, the plants just grow. He said, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. But you don't have to know how it works. It's a process. You just go out and harvest when it's ready. Bringing abundance into manifestation uses the same principle. First, we have an idea. We scatter seed by asking, by declaring our intentions, and then rest in faith, knowing our good is unfolding, like a plant growing. We nurture it and we receive it when it's ready. Like plants, it usually does not appear instantly. Some people, including Fillmore, believe that with enough faith, it can be instant, like spontaneous remission. But more often, I think it unfolds in time and space. First the grain, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. This is Myrtle Fillmore in Healing Letters. She said, "It is God in the midst of us that frees and heals. With our eye of faith, we must see God in our flesh, see that wholeness for which we are praying in every part of the body temple." But she had a warning. To keep declaring love and power and life and substance, and yet, unconsciously perhaps, assuming limitations and living them will cause explosions and congestion that work out in the physical. We need to harmonize our thinking and our prayers with actual living experiences. That means focus on what you want. In this case, keep your eye singly on health. Don't scatter your faith around to lesser things. The opposite of faith is the material world. It's adopting the beliefs of everyone else. So stick to your highest understanding. Myrtle said in a different book, in How to Let God Help You, do not let the opinion of any doctor cause you to waver in the least. God is the health of his people, and he is your health. Pray for your innate and unlimited faith in God to be quickened and stirred into positive action. With your eye of faith, see yourself continuously manifesting purity, harmony, and wholeness in every part of your body. Charles said, we connect our soul forces to whatever we focus our love upon. So try loving your body. We said last week, appreciate it. Remember to praise it. Use words of health and faith. The energy we call God is constantly taking form in your life according to the exact pattern of your words, thoughts, and actions. It's like pouring concrete into a wooden frame. It takes whatever shape you created for it. Charles said, the body stays young if you think young. He was 93 when he wrote his famous quote, I fairly sizzle with zeal and enthusiasm and spring forth with a mighty faith to do the things that ought to be done by me. And we're back where we started, with joy. This is Fillmore again from Jesus Christ Heals. He said, faith is super enthusiasm. You must have such confidence in your ability to make union with creative mind that you fuse the two, and the invisible elements melt and fall into the mold you have made for them. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, those who know the law cannot escape their good. And that's the advantage you have. You know the law, which makes it much easier to have faith in the outworking of your good. Be aware there are two kinds of faith, and this is Lessons in Truth. Where is it? Remember, Emily Cady was a doctor. So she was somehow balancing science and spirituality 125 years ago. And I actually do think this is a funny passage in Lessons in Truth. She said, the word faith is one that has generally been thought to denote a simple form of belief based mostly on ignorance and superstition. It's a word that has drawn forth something akin to scorn from so-called thinking people, she put it in quotes, the people who have believed that intellectual attainment is the highest form of knowledge to be reached. Blind faith, they have disdainfully chosen to call it, fit only for ministers, women, and children. But not a practical thing on which to establish the everyday business affairs of life. Some have prided themselves on having outgrown the swaddling clothes of this blind, unreasoning faith, and having grown to the point, as they say, where they have faith only in that which can be seen or intellectually explained. Blind faith is believing that God will do what you ask of him. And we know that doesn't always work. It puts you in the position of asking for something from a being that is separate from you and then waiting for a yes or no answer. In the church where I grew up, I was taught if I had enough faith, God would give me what I want. Again, it's not exactly wrong, but now we understand the law behind it, and it's an ancient spiritual teaching that faith draws out what already has been provided, the supply that awaits our demand. That's what we call understanding faith. Understanding faith, as opposed to blind faith, is connecting with the higher realms of consciousness to invoke spiritual law. And you don't have to have much faith. Jesus said the faith of a tiny mustard seed is enough. Faith is powerful stuff. With the faith of a mustard seed, he said, you can move mountains. Nothing will be impossible for you. Faith is the power to see in spirit. Our eyes are for outer sight. This is inner sight. Our thoughts are centered in the great universal mind where all we want is ready for us, including health. This is how Jesus worked what we call miracles. He was really just making use of the law. And he talked about it all the time. Your faith has made you well. According to your faith, be it done unto you. Pray believing, and you have already received. And what is faith but thought, the power of the mind? It does not depend on what the senses perceive. We know the spirit of truth within us. This is what we've worked so hard to learn, and it's what we're trying to teach our children. Myrtle Fillmore loved a little children's poem called The Prayer of Faith. Actually, Myrtle loved children. She had three little boys when Unity was founded. A large part of her ministry, alongside prayer and healing, was for children. I suspect she believed they were more spiritual than adults. Don't we all? So she started a magazine for children called We Wisdom. I have an uncle who grew up on it, never knew it was related to Unity. And Myrtle published this Prayer of Faith in We Wisdom in 1898. And again in 1914, credited to a woman named Hannah Moore Cohouse. So I thought you might like to hear it read in Myrtle's voice. This is her voice.
God is my help in every need. God does my every hunger feed. God walks beside me, guides my way through every moment of the day. I now am wise. I now am true. Patient, kind and loving too. All things I am, can do and be, through Christ the truth that is in me. God is my help. I can't be sick. God is my strength unfailing quick. God is my all. I know no fear, since God and love and truth are here. Amen.
So let's take those thoughts into meditation with Kit.
So begin as we always do by taking a deep breath and centering ourselves, maybe shaking out our hands a little bit, putting our feet flat on the floor, moving into that place, that heart space. The heart space that opens when we breathe deeply into it. If you haven't already, just gently close your eyes. Faith. Was there a passage that you heard perhaps that said, no, I can't do that, from Ellen's message today? I don't have that power. Have that deep of a belief. Allow that to come up. judgment. Simply look at it and say, where did that come from? The practice of faith is knowing that you have choice. Divine. You can practice remembering that you are indeed divine, because you are. You can put your faith in that. Faith in my inherent divinity. I have faith in my inherent divinity. Allow yourself to let that thought just swirl around you, swirl around your heart, fill your heart. And if any little wiggly piece of doubt tries to sneak in and say, simply breathe back into it. Breathe into your heart space. And say, I have faith in my inherent divinity. You are so loved. You are so very loved, unconditionally. By that which created you, that fills you, that brought you here to be its own expression as uniquely you. So have faith in your inherent divinity. You cannot escape it. It is you. Embrace it. Expand upon it. Send it out into the universe, because that's why you're here. So take a big, deep, divine breath. Take another one, fully in, fully out. And let's just affirm that divinity that is in you by singing the Alleluia.